Welcome to Insight Aviation, helping you to take a look inside the world of captains, aerospace professionals, air traffic controllers, and much more. Learn how they got started, where they are now, and their advice for aspiring aviators. This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy, located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain.
Be the captain.
Be the captain.
Be the captain.
Welcome to Wayman Aviation Academy.
The thing that sets Wayman apart from other flight schools here, basically the location, fleet size.
Being able to provide high quality training.
They have the resources, they have the fleet, they had everything I was looking for to start my career as a pilot.
Wayman is a very airline-oriented operation.
The Academy offers complete ab initio flight training programs and courses.
Get to know each student, because each student is different.
Wayman Aviation Academy operates a large fleet of more than 40 airplanes and full-motion flight simulators.
Here, maintenance is priority number one, and we take pride in what we do.
Realizing your dreams at Wayman is within reach.
I choose Wayman.
I choose Wayman.
I choose Wayman.
Wayman Aviation Academy, developing the skills and attitudes for safe, successful, and professional pilots around the world. Changing lives through aviation.
And we certainly hope that you'll choose Wayman Aviation Academy. Welcome to the latest installment of the Insight Aviation Podcast, where we bring to you insights from pilots, air traffic controllers, airport operations, all the friends that we've built over these 35 years at Wayman Aviation Academy. And I can't think of many friendlier than Chris Mullins, former instructor, now pilot at JetBlue. Please, Chris, introduce yourself.
Hi. Well, I'm Chris Mullins. I'm a first officer with JetBlue Airways now, based here in sunny South Florida. And as Eddie mentioned, I am a proud Wayman alumnus. I was an instructor there. And I will honestly second that video. It's one of the greatest places to be as far as trying to develop yourself in this career path. And I think they have everything that you need there, as well as a great atmosphere and great people. So that's it. That's the summary of who I am. And
We've got lots to talk about. So first of all, for those of you that are joining us live in the Zoom, this is a webinar style. So instead of chatting or seeing your screens, you can put comments in the chat and in the Q&A button down here. Those of you that are watching us on Facebook Live, similarly, you can write your questions in the comments and we're going to get to them all. First of all, I'd love to hear where you're watching from. So if you're in the Zoom, if you're on the Facebook, go ahead and type in what city, town, country you're watching from, and that kind of helps us direct our questions your direction, right? I do love to know where everyone's coming from. And including yourself, Chris, I'd love to know where you're coming from, right? So we know where you are now, first officer at JetBlue, right? But I have to get back there. Like, you know, this is really to give insight to aspiring aviators. So how did you get your start into aviation?
Oh, man. You know, I would say my story is not any different than most people, right? Like, as far as I can remember being a little kid, I was always interested in machines, right? So it's plane, trains, automobiles, but there was something about airplanes. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and at the time, I've dated myself, but TWA was big there, and we lived kind of along the flight path to the airport, and so we had TWA that was huge there at the time. We had the Missouri Air National Guard, so you know sleek, fast jet fighters were flying over my house, going to the airport. And I was just always enamored. It was just that easy. Like I just couldn't picture myself doing anything else. I just always loved airplanes. Coming out of like high school, I really thought I wanted to fly in the military. And the issue was I always wore glasses up until recently where I had LASIK done, but I always wore glasses. And so I didn't qualify for military. And back then, you know, talking about, you know, early 90s, the only advice that people really had for people who wanted to be pilots was go to the military, right? So like, you know, if you didn't know pilots, if you didn't, it was just like, that's the natural transgression. You know, my parents, you know, that we didn't have pilots in our neighborhood. They didn't know, you know, they certainly didn't know people who were pilots who could, you know, kind of guide you along that path. So that was really the only advice you ever got. So I kind of shelved those plans because that was the only advice that I had. And then as I got into college and stuff like that, I started to, you know, receive a little bit more information. One of my best friends actually from college, he's a pilot at JetBlue now also. He's kind of been my mentor. He was a kind of a guy that the first guy that I met that I sat next to who was just as interested in aviation as I was in college. And he went on to fly and I went on to graduate. And then this is really dating myself, but September 11th hit. So everything that I thought the aviation industry was fell on his head. Right. And so my path was one that took me to working in my degree. I started training in Houston right out of college. And when, you know, the organizations that were kind of helping me along the way financially kind of imploded because of the resulting aftermath of September 11th. So it's just really hard for me to find financing in that kind of thing. And so fast forward a few years, I was living in Florida. I worked in my degree. I was actually a pharmaceutical sales rep.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was a pharmaceutical rep for some years. And during the 2007, I guess, when the crises happened, we had some layoffs and I was one of those, but then I had saved a lot of money. And I said to myself, you know what, when I go back to work, it's going to be something that I've always wanted to do. So I saved enough money. I threw it into flight training and then the rest is here we are.
Beautiful. All right. And so if I recall, you're telling me that you did your kind of your flight training sporadically following this school, that school for your private instrument commercial all the way up.
Yeah. So that's interesting. And I love my experience. I think there's paths for everyone to do, you know, especially nowadays. There's so many more avenues. My path was one that kind of took me. So I was in college in Texas. I started there and I think I finished my private. And then in the between time, I moved here to Florida. And I honestly, the most basic way that I could put this was I was on a tight budget. Right. So I had to make sure that everything that I did. Like I had to make sure that, you know, so as a result of that, I was going to different schools that could say, okay, like, all right, I can make it through this school with this amount of time and this much money. Right. And I studied my butt off. I worked my butt off so that I wasn't, you know, overdoing it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wasn't adding more hours. I wasn't, you know, adding additional.
That's a big tip. Yeah. You got to study, you got to be prepared. You got to maximize your time and your budget.
Absolutely. And, you know, it creates a bit more discipline, right? Because I didn't have the luxury of maybe having, having an unlimited source of income. So it really did make me a little bit more diligent when it comes to studying. So, yeah, so I did a lot of my training here in South Florida. American Flyers was one. Airborne Systems was an old school over in Fort Lauderdale where I think I did some training. I think I did my CFI with a local guy down in South Florida. I didn't even do it through a school. So it was that kind of thing for me. But in the end, you know, it's all quality and it all works out and it gets you to where you want to go.
So we have this saying that I've said a lot of times and I hear all the time is that aviation has a winding path. People kind of wind their way through the training in aviation until they latch on to one that takes them all the way. I kind of feel that the school's purpose is to pave a path. You know, absolutely. Through the woods, right? So that people, I'm sure a lot of people have heard me say this, so that students that sign up with us have good guidance, have access to financial aid, get the loans or whatever it is they need to get to that mountaintop. And, you know, you're, for example, you got to that mountaintop, but you had to wander through those woods, right? I'm sure some of you feel like you weren't even facing the right direction.
I think again, you know, going back years and years, there weren't as many options as there are now, right? Like, and when I mention that, I mean, you know, I remember a time looking for financing way back when, where there was nothing that they offered for flight training, right? I remember way back in the day, Sallie Mae used to have a loan that was, it had nothing to do with flight training, but you know, you could qualify and use it for, but it took a lot of digging to find some of these, of these options. Now, I think one of the biggest benefits is, you know, with where we are as far as the access to information, you know, there are a wide range of just resources that you can look into and pursue as far as getting, you know, financing still remains one of the most important things in in aviation, right? And then the second, to me, the second biggest thing is finding the right place, right? Like, and that's one thing that I've always admired about Wayman is that, you know, everything was handled there in-house from, you know, zero time to wherever you wanted to be, and was handled with not only professionalism, but also kind of a family feel, right? Because I always feel like you guys were like a family business. So yeah, where a kid coming in that has, right, 0 hours can work his way all the way through the progression and have people who really cared about his development. And a lot of times, you know, the heartbreaking truth is that doesn't happen all the time in flight training, right? You hear horror stories, or you hear stories where guys, you know, had, you know, bad experiences in one place, they're in it for a lot of money. But I never felt that, you know, that, and to this day, I still refer people to you all because of the way that you guys handle people. That's very important when it comes to this business. You know, the foundation is everything.
I have to admit, you know, with the boom in aviation that we're going through, there's been the recent bust, I'm sure we can talk about as well, right? But, you know, with the pilot shortage, which is in the news every day, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of small operators that have opened up that maybe don't have your best interest, or at least they don't have the resources to really kind of get you where you need to be, right? Not if there's someone dedicated like yourself that's just kind of going for it. It. But so you came to us, you spent, I want to say, just maybe around 2 years, maybe.
Yeah, I think I was there for a little over two years, maybe three.
Put on some great hours, right? Yeah. And if I recall, you went to one of our regional partners.
I did. So at the time, I can't remember if you were just starting that partnership, or if it just in its infancy when I was there. But yeah, I was able to get on with SkyWest Airlines through that partnership. And you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Stephen Yu was the guy who was a recruiter for them, and just a terrific person to talk to. Still to this day, like if you call him, he's answering your phone call. You know, he's at American now, I think. Yep. And then I'm
mentor to many.
Yeah, I mean, like any guy that's come across his path, man, he is just I can't speak more highly of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was that partnership with Wayman, and it drug us together. And I remember even there was a couple of instructors and I, we checked the plane out once. We flew up to Orlando for a meet and greet. And several of us went through the pipeline out of Wayman into SkyWest, which was, you know, for a regional, great airline to work for.
I've only heard great things about them, you know?
Yeah.
And so let's take a moment right there, right? Because a couple of things we just touched on. Mentorship, right? Yeah. Finding somebody who is a little bit further down the path. I mean, he happens to be in a recruiter role, right? So he wants to work with you,
right?
He is someone who's just super motivational, right? You've got to surround yourself with motivational people that are doing what you want to be doing, right? Right. And so I think Stephen fit that to a T. He still does it at American Airlines. Yeah. Actually, I think I'm going to meet him at one of his pilot information sessions here in North Miami, like in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And just kind of help people through the process, right? So
he does it on his own time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, does it on his own time. Absolutely, it's beautiful.
Yeah, He. You know, I don't take the mentorship title lightly, because we all know that there are maybe you know, it's that primacy, right, that you talk about in instructing, it's that law of primacy. It's like a lot of time, the first person that you meet in a role that you want to be in can either encourage you or break your spirits, right? Like, so there's that realism that's out there. But as far as what Stephen did, he was so effective in lending his time, his expertise, that I never looked at another regional. I mean, there's tons of them out there, and they were, you know, tons of them were hiring, but I never looked at another one just simply because of what he meant.
That's a good compliment.
Yeah, I mean, there was just, you know, I filled out the application for one, and it was solely on, you know, on my experience with him. Mm-hmm. But what I'll say is that, you know, in this business, typically more than anywhere else that I've been, and I do have outside aviation experience, but it's so important to have people that show you the pathway here, because there are so many avenues to aviation. There's so many options out there. There's so many different things that you can do. Having somebody that can kind of walk you through what to expect really goes a long way.
Well, because to go back to the forest metaphor, you know, find your way through the forest. It's like you came across somebody who's been walking the woods longer, and he's got a map, and he's like, right. "Hey, let me Absolutely. Show you some things I found."
That's a great analogy. Yeah, I mean, and it's especially someone who's effective and someone who is passionate, right? Like, you know, you definitely don't want to come across people who feel like they're doing it just as a chore, or it's not really their passion. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that I try to convey too is the passion about the industry and the job and the things to expect. And so like mentorship is so, so important. You know, I answer emails all the time now from people who, hey, I have a kid, or I have a neighbor that has a kid, or can you tell me? And I just think back to my days when I was young, you know, again, the only advice that was given to me was, hey, you got to go to the military. Right.
Right.
So now that I am inside of this, you know, this world, there are so many things that there's so much information that I can pass along for people who are starting at all different phases of this, and try to kind of point you to a direction that might be interesting to you. I mean, I think back all those years ago, if I'd have had somebody said, hey, you can do this and do that, and and then it worked like this, things may have been totally, you know, it would have been a totally different experience. Not that I'm, you know, yeah, it, for me. So not that I'm, you know, that my experience, it doesn't appeal to someone, because everybody doesn't start at the same plane in this business. No, but I just think, yeah, you know, a mentor back then would have been just, oh, okay. That would have made the road a little bit more.
Yeah. And I mean, these individuals don't often come up and say, hey, I want to be your mentor. Right.
No.
Had a title. He was a recruiter.
Yeah.
Right. Your instructors, you know, I think they were probably very inspirational, but I'm sure very few of them, you know, were like, I'm going to be Chris's mentor.
Right? Yeah. Right.
But I'm sure somebody along the way said, hey, you could do this. You could go all the way.
Yeah. And, you know, again, like, you know, my buddy from college, I'm lucky that he and I remain close, even though he was flying and I was working in another, you know, we would still stay in touch. And then when I got into the regionals, I gave him a call and he's like, all right, this is what you got to do. But, you know, here's your steps. And it's just it really does help alleviate some of, because a lot of this business is the stress of not knowing what's going to happen next. Right. Like you know, from the time that you leave wherever you may be as an instructor, you got your, I think it was 12 or 1500 hours. Yeah. And you're like, all right, now what happens? Right. And I've applied to this place and now they're going to hire me. And I don't have anything. I don't have any idea what's going to happen next. Right. And so being a good mentor just helps alleviate some of that stress. Right. So that your focus can be on the things that are applicable to what you have to do to get to where you're going. Right. And that, and to me, that's the most important thing, you know, and along the way, I've met a ton of guys who are willing to do that. But, you know, it's just Stephen stands out because of the way he was. He was always gracious with his time, you know, and it really does just go to show you that mentorship in this profession, especially, it's immeasurable.
Do you think that it goes because flight training is such a one-on-one experience? I mean, we have group ground schools, but flight training itself, initial, like ab initio, private instrument commercial flight training is very one-on-one. And I wonder if it lends itself to that one-on-one mentorship going forward. I don't know. It just popped in my mind.
Well, no, that's also a really good point, because even now, you know, I can still remember specific students, right? Like experiences with students. And you do, if you're with someone from, their private, zero to getting through their private, that's a lot of time together sitting one-on-one, right?
Yeah, 60 hours.
Right. And those people are looking at you because you're providing the information to get them to where they need to be, right? Especially, I never took instructing lightly. And that's one other great thing about Wayman is that you had a great group of instructors, that you've always had a great group of instructors. And even a lot of those guys, we're all still friends now. We still talk. We've all gone elsewhere, but we still keep in touch, because it was just a great group of instructors there. And, your instructor, again, I talked about your experiences with someone making or breaking you. If you have an instructor who's not concerned and who's just trying to get their hours and get through the day, that experience can really turn a student, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the time that you spend with someone and developing them and helping them, get to their goal is very, very important, because it sows the seeds of what's going to come next, right? You're always working with somebody in this industry, A lot of times it's one-on-one. I spend hours now with, one guy or gal sitting in the other seat when we're doing what we're doing. And so when you spend that much time with people, you want that experience to be something that's a positive one for them in whatever aspect that may be. But certainly as an instructor, mentorship should be the focus, right? Because you're a mentor right there when you're teaching someone how to fly an airplane.
It's almost a default. You almost have to go out of your way to not be a mentor. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's bring it back to current, right? So you were at SkyWest, you put on your regional time there. How was that transition to JetBlue?
I would say the transition to JetBlue was probably a little bit, the hardest transition is from flight instructing to the regional, right? Okay. Because things happen so much more quickly, right? And I'm not just talking about the actual airplanes, it's everything else, right? It's like being in college all over. So you have a schedule, you have to be here at a certain time, you got to do this, it's drinking from the fire hose all over again.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Yeah, you're learning this airplane and you're like, you're learning these complex systems, and now, you're learning about what it means to have passengers behind relying on you. And, and there's just all these different scenarios that come up that you never think, that you never have to think about when you're in an instruction world, right? Prior to that. So with that foundation, by the time we get to JetBlue, we joke and say it's a gentlemanly training, right? Because the hard part is, making sure you get through the interview and all that stuff, and you're prepared and you get hired on. But then they really take care of you, because for the most part, by the time you're hired by an airline, they want you to be there, right?
Of course.
So I won't say training is easier, but it's definitely you have an idea, a roadwork, so to speak, of what to expect when you're in training, right? So now it's just a bigger airplane, right? And it's the same. Yeah, the systems are a little different, but it's basically the same thing. They're just a little bit bigger, a little bit more expansive. And so by the time you get to the airline, it's particularly JetBlue. I'm going to promote JetBlue a little bit here.
I love JetBlue. Please go right.
They're the training department. Hey, I'm glad you do. The training department there is outstanding. And so, they provide you with all the framework that you need to succeed.
Right.
You know, the guys and the girls there in the training department are really take their role seriously. And so it's a little bit more of a gentlemanly kind of atmosphere, to, so to speak, right? Like they, you know, they're really focused on getting you there. So,
you know, it's really interesting you mentioned that, because I was talking to some captains at Azul, which is like the JetBlue of Brazil, right? Yeah. Founded by David Neilman and all that. And what did they gush about? The training department and how much they had taken from JetBlue. And I'm like, okay, I see a pattern here, right? And I'm sure Breeze is probably the same way, right?
Yeah.
Because there's kind of like this family of airlines all founded by David Neilman.
Yeah, he was, I mean, another level. I didn't know. Yeah, I certainly kind of knew the JetBlue. And the reason I was really attracted to JetBlue is because I started off being a passenger, right? Like I would fly JetBlue, and I was like, man, these guys really have something, right? They're based here in South Florida. It was similar to, I don't know if you ever got a chance to fly on a Virgin American when they were here.
Actually, I was on their flight when they announced they were closing it. LA to Fort Lauderdale. I was like, well, that's weird. I read it in a magazine while I was in the plane. Yeah.
They were another great kind of just, they took a different approach, right? And so, you know, I read a book on David Neilman and what his focus was. And it really kind of, you know, things are as airlines get bigger, naturally there's change, right? But as far as JetBlue is concerned, you know, they really do treat everybody has their stuff, but they really do treat you well, right? And so the training department is really, really focused on making sure that you succeed. And they build a nice big campus with its own hotel, simulators, and it's just a, you know, the experience in training was great. I mean, I had an awesome time. The food was great. The people that they hire around you were great. So
you don't want someone to come back from training and say, like, I had a terrible time, right?
Yeah. No, you're right. Especially when you get to that level, right? You want them to feel, you know, like they're confident and they're well prepared and that they're able to go out and do what we have to do. So
now you're living the dream. You're at JetBlue, first officer, you know, hopefully looking at that captain upgrade down the road. Any advice? I mean, you know, we're kind of getting to the end of our time here. Like, what would you say to that young guy or girl who may be a young career changer trying to figure out what the next steps are? Like, what do you say to somebody like that?
Yeah, great question. Well, the first thing that I would say is this. This is unprecedented times for the airlines, right? So if you are in school now, you're thinking about, you're considering it, this is the time where you really can write your own chapters as far as what you want to be and where you want to go in aviation, right? Because everybody needs you as a pilot, right? So my advice would be to, first and foremost, be open to continually being a student. Right. Like there is, you have to really be honest with yourself in this space. It's like you are going to, from the time that you decide that you want to fly an airplane, probably to the time you retire, you're going to be learning something. Right. You are literally going to have to constantly be on this quest to either better yourself, or you're going to be getting introduced to new things, right? There's, you know, JetBlue has 3 different aircrafts now. If you're interested in flying new airplanes, so there's a lot of things that even within your own company that you are going to have to adapt to. And so you have to be open to learning. The other thing is, you know, find something that works for you. I think, you know, as I talk to people, a lot of times when they ask me what route they should go, my answer to that is, I don't know. I don't know what route is good for you, right? You have to take an inventory of what's important to you. Sit down and say, okay, I want to do this, this, and this, and this is where I want to be. Do I want to fly cargo? Do I want to fly for the government? Do I want to fly passengers? Do I want to fly? And make yourself a roadmap and be honest with yourself about where you want to end up and how you want things to go for yourself. And then from there, you know, it's just, again, the most important thing that I could say is commit yourself to making sure you're doing the things that make you better every time you go up, right? Or every time that you love open that. A book, yeah. right? Learn, try to learn something new. I mean, again, my situation is a little different because I did, you know, I had to make sure I kind of got through everything with one shot, mm-hmm. but, you know, try to focus on really listening to the people who are where you're trying to be, right? So listen to the people who are your instructors, listen to the people who are instructing your ground schools, because that information, I'm going to tell you, all that information stays with you all the way through, right? So from the day one, if you're private, you're going to be revisiting stuff all the way through to, you know, a professional pilot. And trust me, you're not going to want to kind of breathe through or skip through or try to find the shortest route through things without really trying to grasp as much as you can from the people who are around you, or the people that are where you want to be.
And that's the only way to build a steady foundation, right? So yeah, that's great advice. You hit on a few things, right? What I'm hearing is everyone has their own path, right? Absolutely. I'm hearing to plan your work your plan is what I like to say, yep. right?
Absolutely.
The five-year plan, sit down, write it down. I wrote up a five-year plan in the middle of the pandemic. I wonder where I am now.
Yeah.
I wrote out, like, what am I going to do for the next 5 years? I wrote out a five-year plan.
Yeah.
And listen and learn. Listen to learn, right?
Particularly, you know, there's so, like, again, I mean, there's so much information out there, right? Like, so, you know, I know that there are times when people are, you know, they just like, oh man, this is like drinking from a fire hose, right? Like, it's important to balance that time. But again, like, it's just particularly important in this industry to be, you know, adaptive and to really just kind of focus on being that, just to be a perpetual student, and it will never hurt you to continue to learn, you know?
No.
And so that's a really important thing that I think I saw a lot, you know, even with, I remember instructors there at Wayman, Leslie used to always have a book open, you know, she would always she was always reading something. I was always so impressed by just like, wow, you know, so that goes a long way in this industry. People will reference, you know, I just interviewed for a position in our training department, and they reference things that happened to me when I was training students. So it never goes away, right? So that kind of continual focus on learning is key to this.
Excellent. So for those that are watching or listening on the podcast, if they want to reach you, social media, email, the OBAP, like, what are you involved with?
Yeah, so OBAP, I'm still a member of. I've been a member of OBAP for 20 plus years. I was really active in Southeast a lot when Homer was a president. I've kind of, things have gotten busy for me, so I haven't been as involved as I would say, but I'm on Everybody Hates Chris M is my Instagram. I'm on Facebook. If you want to message me, like, I can't tell you how many times people come to me on Facebook and they're like, hey, I have a neighbor's kid or somebody who wants to be a pilot. Can you help them out? So as time permits, I'm always willing to lend a hand or to give some advice or to point you in the right direction. So,
I appreciate that. I appreciate having you in the orbit here of Wayman Aviation. Every time you visit, it's always a great day. And we're going to be having an airport day November 12th for all of our, it might be after you've heard this, right? But we're going to have an airport day with Discovery Flights at our airport on November 12th if you're available. And big announcement for everyone that's listening right now, Wayman Aviation Academy just got its college accreditation, which means that we'll be recruiting for our January start for our first college class of again, Associates in Aeronautical Science from Wayman Aviation. You are an alumni, of course. So I greatly appreciate you joining us. So visit us, wayman.edu, to get information about our pilot program, our college program, at Wayman Aviation, on all the social media channels. Chris, a pleasure to have you here. Always a pleasure to hear from you. And we hope to see a whole lot more of you.
Always. Anytime, Eddie. I'm always proud to do this, particularly for you guys, because you guys have always been great to me. And I think Wayman is a school that I still brag about. So anytime you need me, schedule permitting, I'm there.
Thank you. Yeah. And to everyone, get a higher education, learn to fly with Wayman Aviation. Thank you. This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain.